can I call you Thursday? And I had a good look at the crime scene at first hand. Whoever took the manuscript of Chuzzlewit left no fingerprints, no sign of entry, and nothing on any of the cameras.
Not a lot to go on, was there?
On the contrary, it was just the break I've been waiting for.
Did you share this with Boswell? I asked.
Of course not. We're not interested in the manuscript, we're interested in the man who stole it.
And who's that?
I can't tell you his name, but I can write it.
He took out a felt tip and wrote, Acheron Hades, on a notepad and held it up for me to read.
Look familiar?
Very familiar. There can't be many people who haven't heard about him.
I know. But you've met him, haven't you?
Certainly, I replied. He was one of the lecturers when I studied English at Swindon in 68. None of us were surprised when he switched to a career of crime. He was something of a lech. He made one of the students pregnant.
Brayburn, yes. We know about her. What about you?
He never made me pregnant, but he had a good try.
Did you sleep with him?
No. I didn't figure sleeping with lecturers was really where I wanted to be. The attention was flattering, I suppose, dinner and stuff. He was brilliant, but a moral vacuum. I remember once he was arrested for armed robbery while giving a spirited lecture on John Webster's The White Devil. He was released without charge on that occasion, but the Brayburn thing was enough to have him dismissed.
He asked you to go with him, yet you turned him down.
Your information is good, Mr. Tamworth. Tamworth scribbled a note on his pad. He looked up at me again.
But the important thing is, you know what he looks like.
Of course, I replied. But you're wasting your time. He died in Venezuela in 82.
No, he just made us think he had. We exhumed the grave the following year. It wasn't him at all. He feigned death so well that he fooled the doctors. They buried a weighted coffin. He has powers that are slightly baffling. That's why we can't say his name. I call it Rule Number One.
His name? Why not?
Because he can hear his own name, even whispered, over a 1,000-yard radius, perhaps more. He uses it to sense our presence.
And why do you suppose he stole Chuzzlewit? Tamworth reached into his case and pulled out a file. It was marked Most Secret, Spec Ops 5 Clearance Only. The slot in the front, usually reserved for a mugshot, was empty.
We don't have a picture of him, said Tamworth as I opened the file. He doesn't resolve on film or video, and has never been in custody long enough to be sketched. Remember the cameras at Gad's Hill?
Yes.
They didn't pick anyone up. I went through the tapes very carefully. The camera angle changed every 5 seconds, yet there would be no way anyone could dodge all of them during the time they were in the building. Do you see what I mean?
I nodded slowly and flicked through the pages of Acheron's file. Tamworth continued.
I've been after him for 5 years. He has 7 outstanding warrants for murder in England, 18 in America. Extortion, theft, and kidnapping. He's cold, calculating, and quite ruthless. 36 of his 42 known victims were either spec ops or police officers.
Hartlepool in 75, I asked.
Yes, replied Tamworth slowly. You heard about it?
I had. Most people had. Hades had been cornered in the basement of a multi-story car park after a botched robbery. One of his associates lay dead in a bank nearby. Acheron had killed the wounded man to stop him talking. In the basement, he persuaded an officer into giving him his gun, killing 6 others as he walked out. The only officer who survived was the one whose gun he had used. That was Acheron's idea of a joke. The officer in question never gave a satisfactory explanation as to why he had given up his firearm. He had taken early retirement and gassed himself in his car 6 years later after a short history of alcoholism and petty theft. He came to be known as the 7th victim.
I interviewed the Hartlepool survivor before he took his own life, Tamworth went on. after I was instructed to find him at any cost. My findings led us to formulate rule number 2. If you ever have the misfortune to face him in person, believe nothing that he says or does. He can lie in thought, deed, action, and appearance. He has amazing persuasive powers over those of weak mind. Did I tell you that we have been authorized to use maximum force?
No, but I guessed.
SO5 has a shoot-to-kill policy concerning our friend.
Whoa, wait a sec. You have the power to eliminate without trial?
Welcome to Spec Ops 5, Thursday. What did you think containment meant? He laughed a laugh that was slightly disturbing. As the saying goes, if you want to get into Spec Ops, act kinda weird. We don't tend to pussyfoot around.
Is it legal?
Not in the least. It's Blind Eye Grand Central below Spec Ops 8. We have a saying, below 8, above the law. Ever hear it?
No.
You'll hear it a lot. In any event, we make it our rule number 3. Apprehension is of minimal importance. What gun do you carry?
I told him, and he scribbled a note.
I'll get some fluted expansion slugs for you.
There'll be hell to pay if we get caught with those.
Self-defense only, explained Tamworth quickly. You won't be dealing with this man. I just want you to ID him if he shows. But listen, if the shit hits the fan, I don't want any of my people left with bows and arrows against the lightning. And anything less than an expanding slug is about as much good as using wet cardboard as a flak jacket. We know almost nothing about him. No birth certificate, not even a reliable age or even who his parents were. He just appeared on the scene in 54 as a petty criminal with a literary edge, and has worked his way steadily upwards to being number 3 on the planet's most wanted list.
Who are number 1 and 2?
I don't know, and I have been reliably informed that it's far better not to know.
So where do we go from here?
I'll call you. Stay alert and keep your pager with you at all times. You're on leave as of now from SO27, so just enjoy the time off. I'll be seeing you.
He was gone in an instant, leaving me with the SO5 badge and a thumping heart. Boswell returned, followed by a curious page. I showed them both the badge.
Way to go,
said Page, giving me a hug, but Boswell seemed less happy. After all, he did have his own department to think about.
They can play very rough at SO5 next, said Boswell in a fatherly tone. I want you to go back to your desk and have a long, calm think about this. Have a cup of coffee and a bun. No, have 2 buns. Don't make any rash decisions, and just run through all the pros and cons of the argument. When you've done that, I would be happy to adjudicate. Do you understand?
I understood. In my hurry to leave the office, I almost forgot the picture of Landon. Chapter 4. Acheron Hades. The best reason for committing loathsome and detestable acts, and let's face it, I am considered something of an expert in this field, is purely for their own sake. Monetary gain is all very well, but it dilutes the taste of wickedness to a lower level that is obtainable by anyone with an overdeveloped sense of avarice. True and baseless evil is as rare as the purest good, and we all know how rare that is. Acheron Hades, degeneracy for pleasure and profit. Tamworth didn't call that week, nor the week after. I tried to call him at the beginning of the 3rd week, but was put through to a trained denialist who flatly refused to admit that Tamworth or SO5 even existed. I used the time to get up to date with some reading, filing, mending the car, and also, because of the new legislation, to register Pickwick as a pet rather than a wild dodo. I took him to the town hall, where a veterinary inspector studied the once extinct bird very carefully. Pickwick stared back forlornly, as he, in common with most pets, didn't fancy the vet much. "Brock Block," said Pickwick nervously, as the inspector expertly clipped the large brass ring around his ankle.
"No wings?"
asked the official curiously, staring at Pickwick's slightly odd shape. "He's a version 1.2, I explained. One of the first. They didn't get the sequence complete until 1.7.
Must be pretty old.
12 years this October.
I had one of the early thylacines, said the official glumly. A version 2.1. When we decanted him, he had no ears, stone deaf, no warranty or anything. Bloody liberty, I call it. Do you read New Splicer?
I had to admit that I didn't.
They sequenced a stellar sea cow last week. How do I even get one of those through the door?
Grease its sides, I suggested, and show it a plate of kelp. But the official wasn't listening. He had turned his attention to the next dodo, a pinkish creature with a long neck. The owner caught my eye and smiled sheepishly.
Redundant strands filled in with flamingo, he explained. I should have used dove.
Version 2.9?
2.9.1, actually. Bit of a hotchpotch, but to us he's simply Chester. We wouldn't swap him for anything.
The inspector had been studying Chester's registration documents.
I'm sorry, he said at last. 2.9.1s come under the new chimera category.
What do you mean?
Not enough dodo to be dodo. Room 7 down the corridor. Follow the owner of the pukey, but be careful. I sent a quark beast down there this morning.
I left Chester's owner and the official arguing together and took Pickwick for a waddle in the park. I let him off the lead, and he chased a few pigeons before fraternising with some feral dodos who were cooling their feet in the pond. They splashed excitedly and made quiet plock-plock noises to one another until it was time to go home. 2 days after that, I had run out of ways to rearrange the furniture, so it was lucky that Tamworth called me. He told me he was on a stakeout and that I needed to join him. I hastily scribbled down the address and was in the East End in under 40 minutes. The stakeout was in a shabby street of converted warehouses that had been due for demolition 2 decades before. I doused the lights and got out, hid anything of value, and locked the car carefully. The battered Pontiac was old and grossy enough not to arouse suspicion in the grimy surroundings. I glanced around. The brickwork was crumbling, and heavy smears of green algae streaked the walls where the down pipes had once been. The windows were cracked and dirty, and the brick wall at ground level was stained alternately with graffiti or the sooty blackness of a recent fire. A rusty fire escape zigzagged up the dark building and cast a staccato shadow on the potholed road and several burnt-out cars. I made my way to a side door according to Tamworth's instructions. Inside, large cracks had opened up in the walls, and the damp and decay had mixed with the smell of Jay's fluid and a curry shop on the ground floor. A neon light flashed on and off regularly, and I saw several women in tight skirts hovering in the dark doorways. The citizens who lived in the area were a curious mix. The lack of cheap housing in and around London attracted a cross-section of people, from locals to down-and-outs to professionals. It wasn't great from a law and order point of view, but it did allow spec ops agents to move around without raising suspicion. I reached the 7th floor, where a couple of young Henry Fielding fanatics were busy swapping bubblegum cards.
"I'll swap you 1 Sophia for an Amelia."
"Piss off," replied his friend indignantly. "If you want Sophia, you're going to have to give me an Allworthy plus a Tom Jones, as well as the Amelia."
His friend, realising the rarity of a Sophia, reluctantly agreed. The deal was done, and they ran off downstairs to look for hubcaps. I compared a number with the address that Tamworth had given me and rapped on a door covered with peeling peach-coloured paint. It was opened cautiously by a man somewhere in his 80s. He half hid his face from me with a wrinkled hand, and I showed him my badge.
"You must be next," he said in a voice that was really quite sprightly for his age.
I ignored the old joke and went in. Tamworth was peering through some binoculars at a room in the building opposite and waved a greeting without looking up. I looked at the old man again and smiled.
"Call me Thursday."
He seemed gratified at this and shook my hand.
"The name's Snood. You can call me Junior."
"Snood?" I echoed.
"Any relation to Filbert?"
The old man nodded.
"Filbert, ah, yes," he murmured. "A good lad and a fine son to his father."
Filbert Snood was the only man who had even remotely